I'd like for us to turn our attention briefly to Scripture, Genesis, the first chapter, the 26th through the 28th verses. I'd like to read from the New English Version of the Bible. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image and likeness to rule the fish in the sea, the birds of heaven, the cattle, all wild animals on earth, and all reptiles that crawl upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the in the sea, the birds of heaven, and every living thing that moves upon the earth." My theme for this night is, "You remind me of." You remind me of. The gate area was full. It was Friday afternoon at Atlanta International Airport, and as usual, the place was jammed with business persons on their way home from days and weeks on the road, weekend travelers who were off to a myriad of vacation wonderlands, and a few people like myself who were leaving home for a weekend of work. There was no place to sit, so I decided to prop myself against the wall and pass the time people watching. Great fun. The hugging and kissing couple that is going to be separated all for the next 3 days. The worried wife who is hoping that the plane is on time because her car is double parked. The children who greet their parents with the question, "What did you bring us?" I had not been at my job very long before my eyes focused on a man who looked very familiar. He reminded me of someone who used to live in Atlanta but who had moved away several years earlier. Although I didn't want to stare, I could not help but periodically steal a glance at him. And my short glances grew longer as I continued to look for telltale signs that would clearly identify the man until he finally caught me looking. I sheepishly nodded and kind of awkwardly tried to say hello. I was embarrassed that I had been detected, but I still thought that he reminded me of somebody I ought to know. Noticing that he too had that puzzled look of vague recognition on his face, I steeled myself and decided to take the initiative and speak. Somewhat hesitantly, I walked over to him and began with, "Excuse me, but you remind me of..." Before I could complete my sentence, however, he interrupted me with, "Aren't you Ed Wheeler from Union Baptist Church?" We were both relieved that we did know each other. It could have been very embarrassing if we had not known each other. Years had passed since we had seen each other, but despite the changes the years had made, we still looked enough like the persons we had known that we could remind each other of who we were. No doubt, since this conference began on yesterday, you have been reminded of and have reminded others of who a person that they know. Whether we remind them of parents or old acquaintances, old friends or movie stars, you wish. Our appearance can often trigger the response, "You remind me of." And depending on the person that we remind them of, that comment can be flattering. But no matter how flattering or insulting that comment is, all of us who have gathered in this beautiful auditorium tonight need to remember that above all else, we should remind people of the greatest image of all that we bear, the image of God, our Father and Creator. The very heart of all our attempts to be involved in missions, whether at home or abroad or in our own communities or on our own campuses, as short-term volunteers or as career missionaries, should be the reflection of that image. Tonight's scripture should challenge us at that point. In the first chapter of Genesis, we find the story of God's creation of the world. Our particular passage reports the events of the sixth day. It was on that day that God, in his own wisdom, decided to create man. After 5 days of creative activity, it is not really surprising that God would decide to use one more. However, something unique took place on that sixth day. Although all of creation bears the stamp of God's handiwork and the firmaments declare his glory, nothing else in creation was created quite like man. For only humanity is said to have been made in the very image of God. Formed from the dust of the earth, which makes us akin to all the other creatures of the earth, nevertheless, mankind was stamped with the divine image that has forever set us apart from the rest of creation. In the second chapter of Genesis, the writer says that God breathed in man's nostrils of the very breath of life, and he became a living soul. Humanity is unique, because we are created to reflect God. Men and women walk upon the earth like other creatures, yet we have the power for self-transcendence and reflection. Man can step outside of himself and escape the bounds that mortality and earthliness impose upon him. Humanity has the power to remember the past, discover the present, and then dream about a future. Though physically bound by space and time, our minds know no such boundaries. Man's feet may be firmly planted in the earth, but the mind can soar to places where the body has never been and dream of things that are yet to be. Though we are not the strongest, the bravest, the biggest, or perhaps even the most ingenious of God's creations, we were made to commune with God, and that sets us apart. Science informs us that human beings are worth very little in terms of the chemical compounds of which we are made. Yet, every human being is of infinite worth because each bears the image of God. However, our first problem arises at this very promising point. If we would be honest, we must conclude that all too often mankind does not adequately reflect that image. Throughout the ages, mankind has been guilty of the great cover-up, whereby we have hidden the image of God. We have killed and maimed one another in senseless wars. We have misused and abused each other. We have enslaved and tortured one another. We have brutalized and starved our own kind. Rather than reflect a balance between our physical and spiritual aspects, we have too frequently been satisfied to overemphasize the dust to the exclusion of our God-likeness. Mankind has been busy building walls of separation rather than bridges of reconciliation. We have bred hatred rather than love and exclusion rather than inclusion. We have idolized lust and exploited human weaknesses, although there have been notable exceptions of men and women who devoted their lives to reflecting God and reminding people of their unique relationship to a loving Creator. The vast majority of humanity does not remind us of God. But what about those of us who claim to be Christians? You know, people like you and me, and millions of others throughout the world. Who do we remind people of? It is at this point that the second problem comes into focus. Sad to say, all too often you and I are guilty of mirroring images and reminding people of something and someone other than our Creator and Redeemer. When we walk across the campus with our noses in the air, too proud to speak and too holy to be involved, who are we reminding people of? When we fail to use our God-given ability to achieve great things in His name, but rather settle for getting over bare minimum, whose image are we reflecting? When we accept and perpetuate racial, ethnic, national, and religious stereotypes with no concern for the truth, who are we reminding people of? And when we're tearing down other people's characters and reputations, when we are generating and communicating the ugly rumors about who is doing what, when, where, how, and with whom, even though we have no earthly idea of what's really going on, the question must be raised, are we reflecting the image of God? And the reply comes back, no. Some of us, even who name ourselves Christians, are too busy hating to reflect God. Others are so narrow and petty that we have no time to reflect God. There are some who are so busy being religious that they have no time to be Christian. Rather than reflect a loving God who loves us and is concerned about us, they reflect a cold, detached, mechanical lawgiver who has no resemblance to the God who gave His Son that we might have life. And whose image do we reflect when we are ashamed of the color of our skin, the texture of our hair, or the shape of our noses, or when we are intolerant of the differences that we find in others? Surely, it is not the image of God. The twofold problem of the hidden image of God is real, but it is not hopeless. That is why we gather here in Nashville during this holiday season. The twofold problem points us to the twofold demand of our mission task. The first task is to recommit ourselves as Christians to living in such a way that those around us and those who come in contact with us will be reminded of God. We must constantly try to reveal that image of God that is in each of us, each and every day, in every circumstance of our life. And the second task is to call all mankind to acknowledge and reflect the image of God in them. Wherever God leads you in the days to come, you will be called to at least do these two things. What an assignment. What a task. What a responsibility. Yet, despite the gravity of our task, there is good news tonight. The task can be done. For as we celebrate this Christmas season, we are reminded that God Himself has provided us with all we need to do the job. Almost 2,000 years ago, in a little town called Bethlehem, he wrapped himself in human flesh and was born in a manger to save us from our sinfulness and to reclaim the image of God in all of us. And because he lives, you and I not only live, but we have hope and a responsibility to claim the world for him. As you are confronted by the needs, and as you are confronted by the opportunities in the days you will spend here, as you begin to see the need for healing and the need for God's saving message through Jesus Christ in the days to come, my prayer is that you and I will always be found guilty of reminding people of God. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you sent your Son, that he died on a cross for our sins, and that he is raised from the dead and lives now, because it gives us hope that we too, as sons and daughters of yours, can begin to reflect the image that is so badly needed in this world. We pray for strength, O Heavenly Father, and for wisdom as we prepare our hearts and minds for your talking to us. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that having heard your voice, we will dare to respond. We ask these and all other blessings in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.